Time to Go is the title of today's message, taken from Genesis chapter 31 and verses 1 to 55. There come turning points or major decisions where one transits to a different phase or stage in life's journey. In those times of transition, as God's children, we receive God's guidance to move on. We seek the Lord's appointed path for our life. In those times, we see God guide us along life's pathway, as the psalmist David prayed, which we endeavor to memorize from Psalm 25, verses 4 to 5. The psalmist says, "Show me thy way, O Lord." It is a prayer as he seeks God. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Show me thy ways. The ways of God are the ways of blessing. The ways of God, the way of truth, the way of righteousness, the way by which we find the grace of God sustaining us through life. And it is during those major decisions and turning points, crossroads of life, that all the more for the people of God, that they would be quiet before him to seek his will. They would be quiet before him to hear his voice. The Spirit of God speak to us so that we may know thy good will for our life. Our character, Jacob, faces a crisis in his life. As we saw in the last chapter, how Jacob became very prosperous because God prospered him, as he explained how God's hand caused his flock to multiply exceedingly. You see, this man was a cheat. He used his own ingenuity to live life. And God changed him. God intervened in his life. And God caused him, after being cheated many times, to learn how to deal honestly, to live honestly. And this was what he did. This was what happened to him. He sought in his 20-year stay with Laban. He learned to walk with God, learned the ways of God, learned to the ways of honest labor, learned the ways of hard work and diligence, and how it paid dividends for him, in the sense that God understood all that was that he was going through, what went on in his life. Well, he was servant to his uncle Laban, and he worked with worked for Laban for the hand of his two daughters. One by compulsion, not in his own will, he was compelled to marry Leah. And then there was Rachel. And God caused him, in his time of stay there with his uncle Laban, to be prosperous. He multiplied. His flocks began to multiply greatly. And verse 1 of our text tells us the result of it. Verse 1 of Genesis 31. And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And verse 2 says, and Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. He saw his father-in-law, his brothers-in-law, becoming hostile toward him. And he began to fear for his well-being, for he was a poor servant looking after his master's sheep. But now, after 20 years, God has given him his own flock. And his own flock exceeded that of his master's. And so it must have raised many eyebrows, and perhaps jealousy sets in amongst the kindred because of Jacob's prosperity. Personal discernment causes him to realize the danger that he was in. We recall that it was God's plan to send Laban to, or send Jacob to Laban to seek a wife. You remember, he went to Syria in order to find a wife for himself at the behest of his parents, because they would not want him to marry a Canaanite woman and be drawn away by the Canaanite irreligion. And so the Lord caused him at that stage in his life, at that point in his life, to have to leave his home and go and find a wife. And God has prospered him in his journey. You recall how he met with God in his journey, and that encounter with God caused him to have that focus upon God. It was a turning point in his life. You remember in Genesis chapter 28, you turn there, Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. Our text tells us that Jacob went from Beersheba towards Haran, and he came to a certain place, and tarried there all night. And it was the setting of the sun. And there he lay down to sleep. He didn't have anything to sleep on except harsh stones. He ran out without any, left the comforts of home life. And his pillow was a piece of hard stone. So it was a time of loneliness. It was a time of, need, distress, that God met with him. And our text tells us how he saw a ladder that goes all the way up to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending in it, and how the Lord met him and blessed him there. He met with God. It was a spiritual encounter that would change his life. He understood and know that this God of his father Abraham, grandfather Abraham, his father Isaac, is real. That has appeared to him. And there he consecrated himself. He says that, Lord, if you would bless me. He took a vow and it says that I will give a tenth of all that thou hast given me. So he began life trusting God. A little bit like the man Colgate, the man who started the toothpaste manufacturing company. He was a believer. And he understood that blessing comes from God. So every time God blessed him, right, he would be faithful to return a tenth to the Lord. And God blessed his business, and he began to give more, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%, 90%, and still, he says, I have more than enough. God blessed the labor of his hands because he knew that his blessings comes from God, and he acknowledged God to be the giver of his blessings. You see, what a heart. So God gave to Jacob an understanding that life and strength comes from his Father in heaven. And he learned to lean on him, learned to seek him, learned to look to him for guidance in his life. And so his parents were with him, guided him to go to Uncle Laban's place and there find for himself a wife. And this he did for 20 years. And God has given him a family. By that time, right, he has two wives and children from even the two handmaids of the two wives. He had a big family, and God has prospered him. He had many sheep. And here you see a transition point in his life, because there was a change in the way in which that relationship with his father-in-law and the rest of the brothers-in-law in the family. Verse 3 of our text tells us that he saw a change. The countenance was hostile toward him. And therefore, he began to sense an unease. And in that moment, what did he do? Well, he sought the Lord. Lord, what do I do? I'm faced with this hostility. Should I stay on or should I go? It's important that in our walk with God, that we would be willing to seek him and hear his perfect will for our lives. So the Lord's answer to him, verse 3 of our text tells us, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Our direction in life comes from God. God, Jacob, receives direct instruction to return home. God promised his presence with him. Right? Our text tells us that in verse 3 at the end, I will be with thee. So important, isn't it, that we seek the will of God and that we know the will of God and that we would walk in the blessed path of God's will. That's the best. It may be fraught with danger, which we shall see later on in our next message next week. He was frightened of his elder brother because he has stolen the elder brother's birthright. But it was the will of God for him to return. And so God communicated with him. The Lord wants us to know that in every decision that we make in life, when we seek him and we sought his will and he shows us his good will for us, that we would rest in his presence. We would move by his power, by his strength. And so this is how God leads us through life. He shows us the way. and he promised his presence to go before us and with us. And this is how we begin the church. The Lord gives us the great commission. He says to us, "Lo, I'm with you always." And he tells us that we are to go and make disciples and bring them into the church, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do all whatsoever that I have commanded you. And I will be with you always. The Lord's promise with us gives us the confidence, gives us that restfulness to trust Him, to do His will. And so He shows us the way and He promises His presence to go with us, before us, assurance that we are not alone, but He takes care of us. God's direction has to be communicated, not only to ourselves, but to the members of our household. Jacob was not alone anymore. He is now a family man. He has his wife and his children together with him. And so he had to communicate with his household so that his family will move together under Jacob's headship. Verse 4 of our text tells us, "And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock." So they had a, as it were, a secret meeting, right? Far away from listening ears. So they were there in the field with a flock. And Jacob shared with them concerning what God has said to him. And what is happening now in the current situation in the family? "I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before. But the God of my father had been with me, and ye know that with all my power I served my your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me." Jacob explains his predicament and that God has been guiding him thus far. And he defended his integrity in his service towards his father-in-law. So he's talking to two women, right? And who is directly related to the man who cheated him. So, well, it's a difficult conversation, isn't it? Yeah, difficult conversation. And yet he had to express it. And so he says to them in verse 6, "And ye know that with all my power I serve your father." And so his wife, he showed his wife that it was God who prospered him. It was God who prospered him. He was simply working honestly. You see, what happened was this, that all the type of sheep that the father-in-law doesn't want, God caused those type of sheep to multiply. How can it happen? Well, in our text, he tells us in verse 8 that it was God who showed him, the angel of the Lord. Right, verse 11 tells us, spoke to him in a dream and showed to him, right, that God has seen his grief, right, that he has been shortchanged, as it were. So verse 12 of our text says, "Lift up now thy eyes," the angel said to him, "and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring straight, speckled and greased." They said that, hey, these are the type that you would want, that your father-in-law doesn't want. "For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee." So Jacob learned to deal honestly. He learned to trust God. You see, he learned that all his all comes from God, and that his all is in him. When he has God with him, he has everything. Without God, nothing. And so our life comes from him. You know, there are many parts to the body. One little misalignment, and the body goes out of sync. We all know how fragile, how weak we are, and how the life that we have comes and is sustained by a Creator God, and how important it is that we will learn to acknowledge that. And so Jacob expressed and explained to his wife that it is God who has chosen to prosper his ways. He was not there to want to cheat their father. So then he explained. And verse 13 of our text, he further declared his faith. That God was with him. I am the God of battle, which thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a bow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So he told them the will of God. He sought that they would know the will and be willing to follow him. And you see here how important it is that there was this family meeting, so that they would move together. There would be a consensus. There would be an agreement. There would be one direction for the whole family. His wives understood his predicament. It was not by dishonest means that Jacob has prospered. He dealt honestly with Laban. He worked hard to tend Laban's flock for 20 years. And his wives were grieved that they had been treated now as strangers in their own home. So even the wives feel it, and their father practically, as it were, sold their daughters for his own end. So the daughters themselves were upset. Jacob has proven himself upright and honest with Laban. So he had to have this conversation, and so with the concurrence and support of his family, he was ready to pack up and go. So you see here how decisions are made. Instruction to pack up. Verse 3 to 18, verse 17. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels and carried away all his cattle and all his goods that he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Paddan Aram, to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. You notice Jacob did not bid farewell to Laban, but left without saying goodbye. Was it the right thing to do? Well, you recall Jacob requested to leave 6 years ago, but he was retained by Laban. It was not God's time yet for Jacob to leave. Right? Genesis 30, verse 25 to 28 tells us, it came to pass when Rachel was born, had born Joseph, that Jacob had said to Laban, send me away, that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said to him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. So that was Genesis 30, 25 to 28. So there was such a discussion that has already taken place. The Lord didn't give him the instruction to go, and so he tarried with the father-in-law. But now it was God who directed Jacob. He had done his part to stay for another 6 years. The longer he stayed, his predicament became more and more precarious due to the jealousy of Laban and his sons, because Jacob had prospered. He was more willing to obey God than men. And so you see here, he understood the will of God and the instruction to leave for home. And so he, with the concurrence of his family, right, he had to make sure, right, that this is done. Then there is the settling of the unfinished business, verse 19 to 15. Right, if you're setting on a new path, a new direction, you have to settle those unfinished business first. And then you are able to move on, right? So that whatever that you have been doing comes to a proper, what you said, handing over, a proper transition. So here, there is the settling of unfinished business. Verse 19 to 55. Jacob's departure was only discovered 3 days later. So he left. Right? What was the unfinished business? Well, it was that peaceful parting with his father-in-law. Right? There is a need to settle that so that the father-in-law would know that it was the will of God for him, for Jacob and the family, to leave Canaan. And being a God fearing man, a man who understood God and his will, God spoke to Laban, and so God said to him, do to him neither good nor bad. And so here you see how the Lord intervened, how the Lord intervened to make smooth pathway for Jacob to make his way home. When we are in the will of God, you would see that the Lord makes smooth pathway to every obstacle that can come our way. And so it's important, as our memory verse tells us, that we will take time to seek the Lord, to show us His way and how we wait upon Him till He shows us the way. And so Laban, having known that Jacob has left 3 days earlier, came seeking after him. Verse 19 of our text said, for Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob was not aware of that. And so he command his family to pack up quickly and leave. And so they left, they fled. Verse 21 tells us, took all they had, more than what they should. 3 days later, verse 22 says, Laban found out. And so what did he do? Our text tells us that he took his brethren and began to pursue after him. So he came with an entourage of strong men, hostile, obviously. But God intervened Verse 24, our text says, God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said to him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So, having discovered what happened, it's interesting how the Lord intervened to stop Laban from harming Jacob. There was an unfinished business that has to be settled. What was the unfinished business? Well, he was willing to let Jacob go. There was one condition that he gave to Jacob. Make sure that you take no other wives. Do not bully my daughters. Treat them well. Love them. Take care of them. That was the condition that his father-in-law laid down for him. And Jacob understood it. And on the other hand, for Jacob, he received the goodwill of his father-in-law not to harass them in any way, not to harm them in any way, not to take away any of the goods, that the things that God has prospered him with. And so there was the unfinished business that has to be settled. And of course, we see here Rachel had taken something that she ought not to take from the father's house. And Jacob was not aware, and Jacob allowed Laban and his men to search for these stolen things. And Jacob took the occasion to reason with Laban how he had labored honestly for him for 20 years. He had bore the brunt of taking care of Laban's sheep. Verse 42 says, except the Lord, the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. So he reasoned with him. He says that you're not a reasonable man. You're not a reasonable man. You have cheated me. But the Lord has protected me. He has prospered me. And it's unreasonable for you to mock my prosperity, for it is from God. And so Jacob pointed out God's faithfulness in prospering him, in taking care of him, despite all the unreasonable steps that Laban took to cheat him. So the score was settled, right? First, about what he has taken. Second, concerning his daughters. So that was the unfinished business that he has to settle before he can live peaceably. And this was what he did. The score had been settled. Laban knew that it was God's will for Jacob to return home and that God had instructed him to do Jacob no harm. He had his reservations. He requested that a vow be made between them. What kind of a vow? That Jacob would be faithful to his wives, otherwise he would face God's judgment. And Laban agreed to let Jacob go with all his belongings, wives and children. So you see, when God leads us, God guides us, God shows us the way, and there is a settling of this unfinished business. I remember before resigning from the work to go into the full-time ministry, right? Several years back before, with just some understanding to say to the people, the colleagues around, that, you know, I believe perhaps the Lord wants me to leave. And so began that preparation. Several years it took in the preparation. Some other people were to come, and that was done. So a team was built up. A team was able to do the work, so that, you know, you realize that, well, that's done. And the Lord has given the direction to go and study and to go and prepare. And so here you see the Lord preparing the pathway, and the Lord so settling this unfinished business. So with the covenant that was made, verse 49, Mizpah, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent from one another. This heap of stone will be a witness. So with the covenant made, Laban was willing to let the family leave. And this ends this phase of Jacob's life. He left Haran, a rich man, with many cattle and an entourage of wives and children. He was ready to follow God's guidance into the next phase of his life. We see how the Lord was present with Jacob during his entire stay with Laban. And why do you think God allowed Laban or Jacob to be cheated so many times by Laban? And what steps can we take so that we can find God's guidance in our own life? In other words, you are in your crossroads. You may be in a decision point. What steps can we take? How can we discern the will of God? Well, may the Lord guide us as we ponder and think that indeed we need to seek the will of God. Well, let us wait upon Him. The wait is to look to Him, to pray in our devotions, in our study, in consultation with men, filled with the Spirit, with God. May we make our decisions for His own honor and glory, that we may guide it step by step till we are transported all the way to our heavenly home. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit, and bless us with Thy presence to comfort and to cheer us as we seek to walk with Thee daily. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.